broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Refresh Your Wealth. And we are here live on Facebook and with you on Refresh Your Wealth with my infamous partner right to the side of me. And I'll tell you, I don't know how the ESPN guys do this because I've got my voice in my ears. We've got a microphone. We've got Facebook Live. Are you doing okay?
I know. I mean, I feel like we need some highlight reels, too, to mix in here. Maybe some taxpayers going to the hoop, you know, dunking it with the IRS. I don't know. But
Yeah, we even have a topic today. I've got so much technology going on, I can't even think of the topic. So for those first that are on iTunes, which is our primary audience, of course, you can catch the show on refreshyourwealth.com with the links to iTunes and that's where the show broadcasts every week. And for those watching live on Facebook, thank you for catching this. We would love to hear your comments, your questions. We have Corey White, our Facebook monitor. He will be posting any questions up here to us. And wow, we're talking about the IRS. Matt, tell us the topic.
Hey, I can't even think. Guys, this is going to be fun, okay? Mark and I don't get to do this together, all right? Now, it's been so we've had some technical, you know, let's just say we're lawyers, all right? We didn't take any tech classes in school. Back then it was only, you know, DOS prompt type stuff you could learn. So we're working on it. But here's what's cool. Today we're talking about how to stay out of hot water with the IRS and how to deal with their tactics if you get in an audit or you got a problem or you got to resolve a tax situation. If you're making money in America, paying taxes is going to be one of your number one expenses. It's the bottom line. You can't avoid it. We're going to talk about some celebrities that teach some really important lessons. Absolutely. If we can learn anything from celebrities, we can learn what not to do,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and if you can't learn from a good Willie Nelson song, you can learn from Willie Nelson's personal actions with the IRS. Yeah. You're going to love it. It's a life.
The guy became a partner with the IRS, for reals. This is going to blow your mind.
That's true. How many people have a business deal with the IRS? Willie Nelson did. This will blow your mind. And I think I figured out my technology. I'm loving it because I don't have an echo going on in my ear, so I feel like I'm not as discombobulated. So I'm loving it. I love Facebook Live, too. This is kind of fun. This is ESPN Radio at its best. Mike and Mike? Is that what they are? Who they are?
I don't know.
I love those guys.
But I want to let you know, too. Keep in mind, those listening, you can always find us on iTunes. But we also want you to go to refreshyourwealth.com to sign up for our newsletter. Why do you want to be on our newsletter? Because we got awesome articles and tax tips every week, and we announce new shows. And you know what's going on. There's 35,000 people on there. Why don't you be 35,001?
Yeah. And for those, normally Matt and I call in from two different offices around the country, and that's when we record our Refresh Your Wealth show with special guests and even live callers once a month. But today, we're at our Cedar City home office location. That's Cedar City, Utah, not Cedar City, Iowa. And we're here sharing a microphone setup. And I want to let you know I did give Matt two pieces of gum before we started because we were going to be in close quarters. So,
yeah, I guess I came in fierce today. I don't know. Maybe it was the protein bar and Mountain Dew I had for lunch.
Yeah, see, when you eat healthy, it's we all pay the price. You know,
I know it's just not worth it.
If you just had a Carl's Jr., you know, some sort of combo meal, you'd smell great. But a protein bar will destroy any room. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to some tax and legal tips, though.
All right.
And actually, I think we're just going to do tax tips, right?
Because
IRS, tax, that's what we're dealing with today. There's going to be so many tips, so we figured let's just start throwing out tax tips Let's do some on the front end before we get in.
Now, we have a little jingle that we play. So for those on Facebook Live, you will not hear that jingle. But when you listen to the show, again, commuting tomorrow on iTunes, you'll get the jingle. So let's play it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right, now when we're talking about today dealing with the IRS, there's two ways you run into hot water with the IRS. One is you make a bogus tax return, or you're taking a strategy or expenses that are not legit. And we're going to talk about some of those situations. The second is you really just made the money and you weren't paying into the IRS. You get behind, okay? And so you've even filed your return saying, I owe you money, and you just aren't putting in. And I think this is a lot of people who are self-employed fall into this trap the most. And because it's up to them.
Yeah.
They've got to be have the discipline.
Self-monitoring system.
Yes. You are your own worst enemy here, okay? But do yourself a favor. And any self-employed client we have, we want you to think like this. Do not get behind with the IRS. That is the last person you want to be collecting against you. Yeah. They can lien your house. They can garnish your bank accounts. You wake up in the morning, your bank account's down to zero. You don't even know what happened. You owe the IRS money. Boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
So paying as you go. Make estimated at least quarterly payments if you're self-employed. And there's some strategies, Mark, on how much to put in. You know, I've heard you say, you know, 1/3 of your net maybe, or maybe 10% of your gross.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of look at what you're doing. Maybe look at your past years, what you owed, and try and just pace yourself so you get a little bit in. It may not be exactly precise what you owe, but don't be shocked at the end of the year and be thinking, oh, I can just pay all my taxes at the end of the year when I file my tax return. Believe me, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I like that point where you threw out maybe 1/3 of your net or 10% of your gross, and some of you may be writing that down right now thinking, oh, that's the equation. It depends. And when you work with our tax team, your tax consultant will be coming up with some estimates for you. So that way you're putting away an amount that really relates to your bottom line. And we call it your effective tax rate. What do you really paying in taxes? You might be in a 25% tax bracket, but really you're only paying 20% of that because of some killer strategies over here at the office. But you want to strategize with your tax preparer, your tax professional, and come up with something. Now, on a practical note, and I love what Matt's talking about, is setting up a separate bank account just for your tax savings. Have an account that is out of sight, out of mind, and throw money there. And if you're doing real estate deals or internet sales or service or product, whatever it is, come up with that kind of monthly nut and just set it aside and don't touch it. Put it somewhere and leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another way of saying your tip. Set it aside and have something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's pay as you go, baby. Pay as you go.
Yeah. I'm loving it. Okay. Now, I guess I get to give a tax. We're not doing a tax and legal tip this week because this is all about taxes today in the IRS. So My turn for a tax tip, same killer guitar riff.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Now, here we go. I've got a blog article that many of you will love, and I'm going to hit the highlights quickly through it because I don't want to bore you, as if we feel liable for anyone falling asleep at the wheel while listening to our show. And so
we're not responsible for that, by the way.
There's our disclaimer.
Yeah.
So if
we said it, we gave a disclaimer. So
you're on your own.
I mean, I say this with all due respect. So
yeah, all due concern of some sort. So if you go to markjkohler.com or kkoslawyers.com or the accounting for any of those websites, you're going to see a blog. And in that blog, you can search for the word audit. And I've got several articles up there on how to avoid an IRS audit. And I just want to hit some highlights from one of those articles to kind of get our juices flowing today. So one way to get into an audit real quick is to not file tax returns. Not only is Matt talking about, in his last tip, not getting behind and not paying the IRS, a lot of people go into a fear mode of ostrich approach and just put their head in the sand and hope, oh, well, the IRS won't find me. Or if I don't file my return, it'll get better. folks, it only gets worse if you don't file your returns.
Yeah, this is Stephen Baldwin, you know, the one of the Baldwin brothers.
Let's do that one. Why don't you bring up
You want to talk about Stephen Baldwin?
Yeah, let's throw it in there, right?
Okay.
Right,
I was just going to tease him, and we were going to come back
no,
to
it. No, I'm cool. Okay. You go for it, man.
All right. Many of you may be Stephen Baldwin fans. This is one of the Baldwin brothers.
I guess Alec Baldwin would be the other
brother. He's the one that's actually been in some good stuff.
Yeah.
But Stephen Baldwin, you know, he's at some B movies, but he wasn't the Usual Suspects.
Okay.
That I know you said you haven't seen that.
No, I haven't.
That's a tragedy. Seriously, Kevin Spacey's in it. You've heard of him?
Yeah, you had me at Kevin.
So, okay, all right.
I'll watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could have been Bacon, Costner, either one. You would have been in for it. Okay. Okay, Stephen Baldwin. He actually does make money in the entertainment industry, believe it or not. But he failed to file tax returns for like 3 years, okay? Not a big deal. People are thinking, oh, crap, I haven't filed tax returns for 3 years, maybe. Some of you, hopefully not.
Yeah.
But
we know you're out there.
What happened is New York State, the state tax collection agency, came after him. They said, we know you're making money. He's getting tax reporting to Social Security. He's getting 1099s and W-2s, and he's getting other tax.
He was on their radar.
Yeah, the IRS has seen all this stuff, and they're not seeing any tax returns come in. So, of course, they go after him. Now, what does he do? He sticks his head in the sand. He gets the letters in the mail. He doesn't do anything. He throws them away. Of course, you know, the typical, he's in denial.
Yeah,
and I know some of you have been there.
Yeah.
You've been in denial. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I don't, it'll go away. The IRS surely won't come after me. Well, it's not just Alec Baldwin they come after. They even went after Stephen Baldwin, okay?
Mm.
So you could be next.
Yeah.
Now, he ends up having to go to court, plead guilty to a misdemeanor for failing to file his tax returns. He could have faced jail time. It's actually interesting in the cases, the news was reporting out, they thought he was going to get jail time. Uh-huh. The judge saved him from it because he came up and paid a big chunk of the past due tax that he owed. He had filed his returns, went and blamed all of his advisors and people who managed his money, saying he thought they were taking care of it.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course.
Someone else's problem. And so that's how the case ended up. But he's kind of the classic case, and there's lots of other even celebrities out there of just – failing to file a return at all.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got some others of people who file bogus returns, that take weird tax positions. We'll be talking about Wesley Snipes. I got the situation, Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore's tax case that's ongoing. So we got some other ones we're going to, you know, throw into the mix here. But
yeah,
file your return. Don't be like Stephen Baldwin. You could end up in jail.
Yeah, and that's just one way to get in hot water with the IRS right away. And you got to file. So, Matt, thank you for sharing that high-profile example. I love it. Yeah. And
Stephen Baldwin, you know, he's proud we talked about because you just call him high-profile.
Yeah, he's probably, thank you, guys. So, oh, yeah, I just got a tweet from him. He said, thank you, guys, for calling me high-profile. So, yeah.
That's nice.
No, that's not true. I'm on Facebook Live. I can't lie about that. Okay, now, let me hit a few of these, and we'll see if we have some questions on Facebook Live here. First, we've got file your returns. Number two, be aware of industry averages and common expenses. If you're a dentist, you might have a lot of rent and employees, but you're not going to have a lot of mileage. If you're a realtor, you're going to have a lot of mileage, but you're not going to have a lot of rent and employees. And so think of your industry. Don't start putting crap on a line that doesn't make sense for the type of business you're in. Next is avoid the Schedule C. We've often been quoted and recognized for trying to get most of our clients into an S corporation anyway. So if you're making 30, 40 grand or more, you should be thinking about an S corp, but not an S court. That would be totally illegal and inappropriate, unless in Vegas. But we don't want you to have an S court. Yeah. We want you to have an S corp as in corporation. So, but a Schedule C.
Unless it's a Ford Escort. We're for those. The Ford Escort.
I don't know. That's almost a crime too, you know. No escorts unless in Vegas or Ford escorts. Just stick with the S Corporation. There you go.
How much mileage can you write off with a Ford Escort?
I don't know what that means. Dude, but... yeah, that sounded good. Just falling from your lips right there. All right. So, okay. So avoid the Schedule C. You get chances of an audit are 15 times more likely with a Schedule C. That's 1,500% more chance of an audit. So,
Or even the rentals. If you got rentals and you're going on to
Schedule E,
you may want to go partnership with even a spouse for some audit protection there.
Yeah. So it's just a bad problem. Next, issue your 1099s. So folks, if you have subcontractors, don't skip out on 1099s at the end of the year. Make sure if you have an S corporation that you're doing your payroll reports quarterly. You got to be on top of those. Next is avoid round numbers. If your accountant says, oh yeah, let's just put down 300 for dining. Okay. Or 3000 for dining. Who knows, you know, but whenever your accountant just says, let's ballpark this, or you're in TurboTax hacking it out, folks, do not put round numbers in on line items. Make sure you use the specific number amount. Who can hit 300 in dining? Even if you tried, you couldn't do it. Don't take excessive dining, travel, or entertainment. And we're the first ones to sign up for some good, hearty write-offs in dining. Did I say hearty and dining in the mm-hmm. same word? I did. Yeah. A phrase? Yes. Hearty dining write-offs. Travel, be aggressive there, and entertainment. But don't get too aggressive. Pigs get fat. Hogs get slaughtered, folks. So, I mean, those are just some highlights from my article on avoiding an IRS audit. And that's what our show's about today. Mm-hmm. So we want to keep you out of harm's way. And, boy, and this whole show is about tips. We could play a guitar riff every 3 minutes, but yeah. Let's get into another celebrity disaster. Okay. You right. name them. You threw out Stephen Baldwin. Do you have another good one?
Okay. So I got another one. We've got the Stephen Baldwin. That was, you know, stick your head in the sand. Don't file your returns. Think the IRS is, or your state tax commission's not going to chase you down. Next one is you're filing returns, but you think, oh, I'm just going to throw a bunch of personal expenses on here or some luxury items that really have nothing to do with my business, and I'm going to try and expense $6 million of this BS, such as Michael, the Situation Sorrentino. Now, many of you Jersey Shore fans may know the Situation. I had to look him up. Not really my show, but
there is a segment out there.
Yeah, there's a segment out there. I'm not meaning to, you know, you could find it entertaining. Apparently, he's known for being kind of an idiot.
Okay.
And
in his character on the show or in real life?
It's reality TV. So.
Oh, okay, all right. See, there's
one
and
the same. Although he okay. Sorry, Michael, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Now here's what he was doing. He was taking luxury car expenses. He was riding off like luxury cars that were just used for personal purposes. He was riding
and
off,
doing it on TV nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a way to avoid the IRS.
Yeah. They don't know that I got a Bentley and a Ferrari.
Is your tip to not take an aggressive tax write-off on a reality show? Because if that's your tip, I'm already in it. I like it. That's not even the tip, is it?
You know, maybe he was saying he's trying to build a profile, you know, and he was, you know, he thought if he looked cool, that bettered his business.
A profile for the IRS. They were profiling all right.
Now he was riding off clothing purchases too.
Okay. Nice. Boy, brainy.
It's virtually impossible to write off a clothing purchase unless it's really a uniform that you only wear to work, okay?
Yeah.
If you buy a nice suit because you think, oh, I got to look good, or you buy a nice blouse or whatever it may be, skirt, I mean, that's for you, Mark, too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
That's for the lady audience, you know.
Yeah, you got to reach out to the ladies.
Keep in mind that's not going to be an expense. It just because you may use it in business and only wear it for business, that's not going to be an expense. It has to be a uniform with your like logo on it type thing.
Even though Susie Orman looks amazing in those jackets on her show, she cannot write those jackets off.
She has
one for every show. I don't know how she does it. I mean, she is a fashion icon. Yeah. Susie, we love you. Okay.
Now, the other thing he was doing is once they got audited, and here's another thing you don't do. If you do get audited and the IRS challenges stuff, don't make up bogus receipts and bogus bookkeeping to try and keep the IRS at bay.
Okay? Well, on the reality show.
Okay, this is like the Martha Stewart thing in a tax perspective. You know, of like they don't get you on the insider trading. They get you about lying about the insider trading, you know, this type of stuff. So if you do get audited, don't do what the Situation did. He made up bogus stuff to try and get the IRS away from him. They caught on to that. They went after him for that and, of course, all the other bogus stuff. Now, his case is still pending right now, okay? And this is hot off the press. This is, like, just from April.
This makes such – I mean, probably the person that's the happiest about this is his producer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is just fodder for the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean
– But he could be going away for 10 years, okay? 10 years potential. So –
Now it's Orange is the New Black. I mean, he's on another show. Man, gosh, the guy, he's a genius. He's a marketing genius.
You know what? He maybe planned this. It's like, he's like a genius. We don't even know. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, he's
just
the
like
idiot
Trump
situation.
Plans his tweets, you know? He's probably planning this. Yeah. That's amazing.
Okay. You know.
Gosh, man, I don't know if I can top it, but
Jersey
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
All right. So now another tax tip.
River.
Well, so... All right, another tax. Now, by the way, we did mention early on in the show, and for those on Facebook, we are bringing on a special guest, Lee Chen. who's an attorney in our California office who fights with the IRS, but we like to say we work with the IRS because we're lovers, not fighters. And, you know, we don't want to get antagonistic with the IRS. And so Lee Chan is going to come on the show shortly. At that point, we'll cut off the Facebook Live, and he'll be calling into the show and talking about ways to negotiate with the IRS, which leads to my little example here. And this is probably a good lead-in before we bring Lee on the show. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about Willie Nelson. Now, this is 20 years ago, so it's many of you that are a little older or country fans know that Willie Nelson got into some hard times with the IRS. The millennials are like, who the hell is Willie Nelson?
Oh, but they know. They know.
That's probably true.
He's the guy in all the marijuana commercials you millennials love.
That's right. They're like, he plays the guitar too? Okay, yeah, that's right. Yes, he is on the marijuana commercials. That's kind of like Fran Tarkenton in the insurance commercials. That guy played football?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he did. Okay.
I thought he was just a spokesman. Okay.
Yeah. So Willie Nelson he filed his returns.
Okay.
He filed his returns, and he did not take dumb write-offs. He got professional advice. In fact, he had. Back then, the Big 8, Big 6 was Big 5, Pricewaterhouse, which is one of the big accounting firms. I don't know how many big ones there were back 20 years ago, but it was probably 5 or 8 when up there. Anyway, he went to a legitimate accounting firm, got great advice at the time, which he thought, filed his returns, and thought he was good to go. And come to find out, Pricewaterhouse had a very aggressive tax shelter that got shot down. And he, Willie Nelson, ended up owing the IRS $5 million because it was a $10 million shelter, which resulted in about a $5 million tax bill. Well, as the negotiations went on and he didn't pay the taxes and there was the audit, the interest and penalties, Matt, got up to $10 million. It was $10 million just in interest and penalties, and the taxes were $5
million. Yeah.
Now, Goldberg, his tax attorney, God bless this guy, amazing, went in and negotiated with the IRS and said, $6 million. Will you cut me a deal? So, I mean, this guy worked some magic. He went in with the IRS and said, we'll do $5 or $6 million. Can you get us back to the original tax owing? The IRS says, heck, you pay the $6 million, we'll take it. But Willie didn't have the cash.
Yeah, there's a catch here.
Yeah, there's a catch. Hey, thanks
for
the deal.
Can I give you an IOU?
Can I sing you a song? So, which, you know, sets the stage here. So anyway, Willie, get these glasses off here. So Willie says, thank you for the deal, but I don't have a check that can will cover that. And he says, I'll get back to you. So the IRS got a little pissed. They're like, okay, this is not going to happen. We're not going to let you walk all over us. So they went in and started raiding his properties. So they took away property in 4 states. They went into his home and everything. And he even told his wife, his daughter at the time, said, as long as I can keep my guitar trigger, they can have anything. I don't care. I mean, this guy, you know, he's a hippie really at heart.
Yeah.
So he says, give me my guitar. You can have it all, you freaking IRS agents, you know. And he walked away, and they seized everything. But it still wasn't enough. They were ready to auction everything off because they didn't think it was going to come to this $6 million bill that they had negotiated. So I know this is an amazing saga.
This is awesome.
Isn't this amazing?
This
is made for TV movie. In fact, why have they not yet? Well, I'm sure once he dies, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm pushing mid-80s now. Still on tour. Can you believe it? The guy's amazing. So he takes his guitar trigger, goes to the IRS and says, hey, let's do a deal. And the IRS says, really? You want to do a deal? He says, yeah, I'll do a compilation album. The title of this album, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this is just classic.
Yeah, he's got a special name for the album a phone number you call. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, he cut the deal with the IRS and said, we'll call this the IRS tapes. Who will buy my memories? And he had all of his fans. He said, help me out with the IRS. And meanwhile, Willie wasn't a dummy. He went in a lawsuit against Pricewaterhouse and said, you're tarnishing my name. You gave me this great idea. I took it. You signed my tax return. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking like an idiot with my fans. And he went after them for $45 million. So he wasn't kidding. He went after Pricewaterhouse. And Meanwhile, he cuts this album, and the deal was with the IRS that I'll split the profits from the album with you 50-50. And the IRS says, you know what? Let's do it. So they cut the deal. They release the album. After all the expenses and the promoter and everybody working on the album, the telemarketing company that had this brainiac idea, he ends up, the IRS still made $3.5 million. I mean, that's not too shabby, yeah. $3.5 million. But meanwhile, while album sales were vanquishing and it wasn't really going to come together the way he had hoped, he cuts a deal with Price Waterhouse, undisclosed, by the way, much like our United Way passenger that ended up with, I'm sure, a killer deal. Price Waterhouse cuts him a check. He walks into the IRS, wraps it all up. It's over. He cuts the deal. He's out of IRS harm's way. But the story is amazing. I mean, get good advice, file your return, and still, if you have problems, sue your accountant, which he did, and cut a deal with the IRS. Negotiate. Sing a song for the IRS, which he did. Yeah. Is that not funny?
So,
oh, my gosh.
So what can you learn from this? If you're wrong, if your CPA is wrong, sue them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we carry insurance for because we want to always point our clients in the right way.
All right. But two, this is what blows my mind is the IRS really did cut this deal. This is true. The IRS really cut this deal. Oh. We've seen them cut creative deals. I mean, they will look at this. They are really trying to collect. And if you can make an argument that this is the best way to collect, whether it's timing over time, whether it's a payment plan, whether it's I'll pay you this much now, and satisfaction of everything, I'm totally broke, but I'm gonna get a loan from my parents or my brother or someone, so you guys can go away. So there's some strategies here, and we'll talk to Lee about that. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, catch the recording later. That'll go on the iTunes podcast or on refreshyourwealth.com.
Yep. So for those watching on Facebook today, we want to say thank you. We had a lot of views.
Now I got one other example. You want to hit one other?
Well, we can now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. And then we're going to we'll cut off our Facebook Live and go. Because
we got to talk about Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, we got to hit Wesley.
U.S. Marshals.
U.S. Marshal. I mean, you
Passenger 57.
Oh, man. He's
a Lightning
stud.
Can't jump?
I mean, where do you stop? You know, I mean, you get Tommy Lee Jones into that, and then I'm all over it.
Okay. All right. Wesley Snipes. Okay, this guy, he went to jail for 2 years. And it wasn't for, like, you know, something.
Drug-related,
cool,
beating his girlfriend.
Or something like, you're like, he's a hardened criminal.
Not that
criminal.
That's cool, sorry, but no.
Yeah,
no,
but not like, not like,
something you do in this movie, like, shooting a gun and saving someone's life, no.
He wasn't, like, being chased down like a fugitive on U.S. Marshals, okay?
Yeah.
He set up bogus tax structures and took the position that...
I shouldn't even file.
That I do not have to file tax returns because the U.S. tax is unconstitutional. And there's this, what they call it, Section 861. There's this whole group of people that believe that Section 861, it's actually a regulation, 861, allows you to not have to file and pay taxes on your wages because wages aren't defined as income in there. It's a totally ridiculous argument. Lots of people have gone to jail over this. But Wesley Snipes was the most high profile of these people. And it's really sad because – now here's – this is one thing you got to admire of Wesley Snipes. He really believed in this. He thought this was legit. So not only did he stop filing tax returns when he's like at the peak of his career, everyone knows who he is.
Oh.
He went and amended his tax returns for prior years and sought a refund back.
And said, screw you.
So imagine this. You work at the IRS. You see an amended return come by. It's Wesley Snipes' amended tax return saying, I made no income. You're like, huh, I just saw Passenger 57 last week. Surprised they didn't pay him for this, okay?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's an odd thing. And he got audited.
Oh, my gosh.
And he went into court with this bogus tax shelter structure of, if you set up this trust and put all your assets in this trust, you don't have to pay taxes. The IRS doesn't have jurisdiction over it. These are called constitutionalist trusts. And it ended up, of course, being bogus. He ends up going to criminal court. They charge him with felonies. He ends up getting the felonies did not get he got not guilty on those, but he got convicted on the misdemeanors, which put him in jail for 2 years. I mean, imagine going to jail for 2 years for taxes.
Oh, yeah, in the pinnacle of your career.
Yeah.
And if you're the IRS, this is like beyond a home run. This is like winning the World Series.
Yeah.
Because they've got this this poster child now
yeah.
that if you want to really play this game and not file your taxes, you can be a cellmate with Wesley Snipes. I mean, it was just played perfectly into their PR campaign. I mean, you can't even buy that type of publicity. So poor guy, Wesley Snipes, ended up admitting, you know, I was wrong, I guess. He probably still believes he's screwed over. And maybe someday he'll leave the country, like Mark Zuckerberg's partner of Facebook, and say, I'm going to renounce my citizenship. But who knows? He's still here. Has he had a hit yet? Is it a new movie or not?
Good question.
Yeah, I got to IMDb that one. Well, Matt, great tip. And folks, I mean, you could go on and on here. And I want to summarize with our Facebook Live before we bring on our next guest is, you know, it's a privilege to live in the U.S. It really is, you know. And, we have our pros and cons, and we're crazy once in a while. We've got politicians that sometimes embarrass us. And that's not just, you know, that's multiple current to multiple presidents have done that, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. But you know what? You're going to pay some taxes to live here. It's okay. Be strategic, but be careful. And you got to pay the man, and it's all right. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we want to be, I wouldn't say aggressive, but we want to be smart in how you're planning your taxes. And we don't want you to pay more than you have to. I think you want to get to the limit of where you're only paying what you have to, but you don't want to cross the line. Mm-hmm. And there are clear, bright lines of where you will have criminal issues if you try and do that. And think of, you know, Wesley Snipes. Think of the situation. Think of these people that have just done these bogus, dumb things. And with Wesley Snipes, one kind of lesson I think was learned too is, you know, the accountant he was getting advice from had lost his CPA license for giving bad advice. The lawyer he was working with had been disbarred. So if you're working with professionals that have lost their license, that's usually a bad thing. Look them up. Have they had complaints against them? Have they had to defend themselves before a bar or a licensing agency?
Because you have no recourse. See, Willie Nelson, he was working with Pricewaterhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, when this all hit the fan, what did he do? He lawyered up and went after Pricewaterhouse and said, bail me out. And Pricewaterhouse did.
Yep.
And that's what they carry malpractice insurance for, and that's why we do. So, well, okay, we're going to cut out a Facebook Live, and let's bring on our special guest, Lee Chen.
All right, well, we've got Lee Chen on. He is an attorney in the Irvine office Irvine, California, for KQS Lawyers. He has helped a lot of clients with tax disputes with the IRS and helped some negotiate those and just deal with this. It's a stressful time, we know, to deal with these issues. So thanks for being on, Lee.
Hello, Mark and Matt. Having me back on the Refresher Wealth Show.
Love to have you here. It's awesome.
All right, Lee. Well, let's just talk about people who know they owe the money to the IRS. Okay, they've got a tax bill. The IRS is chasing them down, and they want to know how to resolve it. What's the first advice you give someone on what to start doing to resolve this?
Well, the first question I'm going to always ask is, have you filed all your tax returns?
Good comment.
Because the IRS is not going to negotiate, is not going to entertain any sort of installment plan, offer and compromise, any sort of resolution until you file your tax returns. That's basically the way they motivate you to get current on your returns, is they won't talk to you.
You know, and Lee, I want to stop right there. I think that's a great point because a lot of people call you and me. I mean, they kind of see me as a tax lawyer in the firm, and they call up and I say, you got to talk to Lee, because Lee, you are our expert in this area, which I love. And I love that you're saying that, because that's usually the hard reality clients don't want to hear. They want to just have the IRS go away, but they don't want to deal with the pain of filing. And I love that. And Lee, let me ask this too. Say they're getting nasty letters and they're freaking out. Can you buy them some time? What's that like in that initial stage when you're telling them to get their returns done?
Well, usually if you have been pretty good with communicating with the IRS, they're willing to work with you. Okay. It's the occasional people who put their head in the sand, they ignore the IRS. The IRS has been sending them notices for years and they haven't responded to anything. And it's gotten escalated up to, you know, layers of collections. When, if I call them up and I say, well, I need some time, they're going to, you know, say, well, you know, they're not going to be so accommodating. So, but as long as you are responsive and you call me up, I can usually get you that time. 30, 60 days, the IRS can be very flexible.
All right, so let's say you bought them some time, they get their tax returns done, and that's easier said than done for a lot of people, I know. But now they've got their returns in, they know they owe money. What's the first option most people are going to look at to try and resolve, you know, owing money to the IRS?
Well, their first option, it depends on how much they owe. If they owe $50,000 or less, then they can qualify for a guaranteed streamlined installment agreement, okay? And that will allow them to pay off that liability within up to 72 months. And you don't have to do any sort of financial statements. They won't file a lien against you, you know, as long as you are in compliance with that installment plan.
Okay, so that kind of stops the collection efforts. You get a deal with the IRS. And you're paying over time. You said up to 72 months. That's up to 50K though. What if I owed more than 50,000?
Okay. Well, if you owe more than $50,000 and you want to get on an installment plan, meaning you're paying off the entire liability over time, the IRS is going to want some documentation to show that, you know, you can't pay it off faster, because the IRS always wants to take the position that to get paid sooner. And if you show that if your financial is such that you can pay it faster than, you know, the installment plan, they're going to want you to pay it faster. So they're going to require financials if it's $50,000 or more. And so they're going to look at your situation a little bit more. You know, they may file a federal tax lien, you know, in order for you to qualify if it's $50,000 or more. So there's going to be a little bit more processes, and we can help you to prepare those documents and financials to show the IRS.
And I like that, Lee. I think that's a good summary, because people that owe the IRS over $50,000, they can get on a plan. They can get their life back. The IRS is not sending nasty letters anymore. There is a lien, so their credit looks crappy during the process. And you can there's no payment for pre-penalty. I mean, the IRS is like, you come into some money, send it. We love that. But it is a nice way for clients to feel like, hey, I got 6 years, I had a 72-month plan, and I'm going to get rid of the IRS, and then I'll ultimately have it off my credit. So that's a really still manageable option. Now, here's what happens, though, right, Lee? The clients go, I can't even afford the installment plan. I mean, I'm not making enough money. If I'm going to sign up for this installment plan, and I know 3 months from now I'm going to fail. I can't do it. So now we go to two other major options. And this is where maybe bankruptcy, they just have to consider that because their life is a disaster in multiple ways, or the offer in compromise. Tell us how you distinguish between those two options and when maybe you even have to recommend bankruptcy and getting them to a BK attorney.
Well, if we're considering bankruptcy, then we want to look at their overall debt situation. So if they have, you know, in addition to their IRS debt, they have a bunch of credit card bills or a bunch of other debt that can be discharged in bankruptcy, then it may make sense for them to consider the bankruptcy option, you know, to maybe take care of the IRS debt, provided that you qualify for the bankruptcy rules for the IRS debt, because there's some restrictions. But then you can get rid of that other debt as well. If your debt is only the IRS debt, then, you know, probably bankruptcy is not going to be worth it. We probably want to negotiate directly with the IRS for what we call an offer and compromise.
Okay, and let's stick with the bankruptcy for a minute. Some people think, oh, I can just do a Chapter 7 and the IRS will go away. And not so fast, Tiger. There are some rules. I mean, Matt, you wanted to hit this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what your tax debt is. So it has to be income tax. It has to be within the prior 3 years.
Or over 3 years, right? I mean, it has to be at least debt that it was incurred 3 years, at least 3 years old.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have incurred it in just the last 240 days. So you can say, oh, I can't pay this bill. I'm going to claim bankruptcy. No. The IRS isn't going to let you run right into the bankruptcy court. This is crap that maybe has been building over the last few years.
Yeah, and you're not going to get this, though, if you have a federal tax lien. So if you already are at the stage of a federal tax lien, they're not going to be able to discharge that federal tax lien.
Well, let me clarify that, too. That's if there's a tax lien on a specific property. They can't. They'll wipe out debt, but if they've got a lien against a property and it's already on that property, it's going to remain there. But if you were saving on a payment plan and it was just a general lien on your credit, that'll go away. It's those liens that have been recorded at the county recorder on a specific property, because they're going to sit around and wait for that property to get sold. You know,
they know there's equity there.
Yeah.
And frankly, when you're in bankruptcy court anyways, that equity is going to be looked at, you know. So generally, you would typically, that equity, if you were upside down on the property, you know, then who cares anyways? The bank's going to get that anyway. So you have to really look at what is the debt. Is it going to be dischargeable in bankruptcy or not? The specific tax debt that we're talking about, to know if it's worth it, because bankruptcy has a lot of other repercussions. You know, it's going to affect your credit in the future, your ability to obtain loans or get other debt in the future. So you need to be careful. Of course, there's also a lot of costs in just filing bankruptcy itself. So so if your life's a train wreck in other areas of debt, and you really are insolvent, meaning you owe a lot more money than you have or make, you could consider bankruptcy.
Yeah. But it's not the most common. It really isn't. I would say installment agreement or offer and compromise. And so, Lee, tell us about this offer. Are really those sexy commercials where I can settle for pennies on the dollar realistic? What do you think?
Well, I would agree. In most situations, those advertisements are more sex than reality. But the reality is, I mean, you can settle for less than you owe under an offer and compromise, but what they really don't tell you is you got to convince the IRS with documentation that your financial situation is such that you can't pay off the whole liability, say in a, you know, 2-year period, for example. Okay. And so, and the IRS is not going to take your word for it. They're going to want documents. There's a specific form that you have to fill out where you list all your documents, all your debts, all your income. And not only do you have to fill that form, you got to give them documentation, all of your bank statements, all your profit and loss statements, all these documents. And that's where really being organized and keeping good records will help me to help you to get the IRS to accept an amount that's going to be less than you owe.
Yeah, and I think I've seen a lot of clients have success with offer and compromises. It's actually in law school, I help people with offers and compromises. Is like the only thing in law school I actually learned that was helpful. One thing to think about, and this is where I've seen some clients, is they look at the offer and compromise. They're trying to make an argument to the IRS as what's called doubt is to collectability. They're basically trying to go to the IRS to say, hey, you don't even want to try to come after me. Here's everything I have. I'm not worth it to you. Don't waste your time on me. And if you can paint a picture that makes, and if your financial situation really is like this, because you have to bear all, if you can paint a picture, truthfully, that you're not worth it, the IRS will be cutting you deals. So if you have no assets, if you have a lot of other debts, if your income's lousy, then the IRS will look at cutting debts. And sometimes that can result in a lump sum amount. Sometimes you can cut a deal with a payment plan. And the lump sum amount, by the way, is always has to be like, or at least it seems like, this is the last cash I have, or I've got to liquidate this from a retirement account, or I've got a friend or a family member that's going to loan me this X lump sum to pay you guys off. And I've kind of seen those, but what have you seen just from a practical side, Lee, maybe an example or two of someone in an offer and compromise of what they owed and what they kind of came out with based on their situation in terms of a resolution?
Well, let me just say, I mean, a lot of what you hear in the advertisements, it's like, they can, you know, strong arm the IRS into, negotiating whatever they want. It's not really a subjective analysis. It's really what do the numbers indicate on your financial information? And so, you know, based on all your finances, all of your assets, all of your income minus, you know, whatever debt that the IRS will allow, they usually allow certain types of debts that are necessary for your livelihood. What does that number come out to every month? Whatever that number is that you had left over, in general, that's what the IRS wants. So it's more of an objective financial analysis more than a subjective analysis. And we prove that to the IRS by documentation, your bank statements, your wage statements, your bills, for the last 6 months or so, that's what the IRS is going to be looking at to determine what can you pay every month.
Well, and I think that's a real practical approach. A lot of people think, oh, I could do an offered compromise and tell them, oh, here's how much I can afford.
And or they think I can tell them a sad story of what happened. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah. And there are those type of requests to have penalties and interest reduced due to hardship. But the actual tax is going to fall under this offer. And I like that Lee, you pointed out, it really is an equation. You plug in what you make, what your assets are worth, and the IRS says, here's how much we'll take. And so these commercials make it sound so sexy that, they're sitting here in front of this beautiful Florida home with pool, and they're like, oh, I settled with the IRS for pennies on the dollar. Yeah, you may have 18 months ago when you were living inland 300 miles in an RV and you had no money. And by the way,
RV, that sounds pretty nice. That was the double wide.
Yeah, it was maybe a double wide. I know some sweet RVs out there. But they're broke, and the IRS cuts them a deal. But then they get back on their feet 2 years later and then get on a cool commercial. So I think as long as people are realistic about it, I think it works, you know. But it's really about doing the math. So,
but here's the other thing I think that's a planning issue in doing the offer and compromise is sometimes when you're in this collection process with the IRS, they are in the dark in terms of your assets and what you have and your income. To a certain extent, I mean, the IRS has tremendous resources, more than anyone else, to collect against you. But once you file that offer and compromise, you're really bearing it all. You're showing them everything. You're signing this stuff under penalty of perjury. So that's just a planning thing. If you really do have the assets and income, you don't want to necessarily be going down the offer and compromise. There's a one chance if you know you're trying to contest it with the IRS in terms of, did I really owe this amount in the first place? You know, you're kind of trying to say the IRS is wrong in what they're assessing and trying to collect against you. But that's more the exception. Generally, you're agreeing to the amounts owed. You're just trying to cut a deal in terms of how do I pay it back.
Yeah. Well, Lee, any final tips or advice for the poor person out there that owes the IRS money today and they're frustrated and sad and depressed and they think the world's crashing down on them? We want to give them a little bit of hope. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, the most important thing, and you probably covered this partially in your audit discussion, is the way that you can help me to help you is to keep good records, okay? If it is, in fact, you know, you don't have any assets, your income is very low, you know, your expenses are pretty high, I'm going to need documentation of that. The IRS wants to see that. They want to cut you a deal. They don't want to chase you down all this over this, and what all they want is, you know, some sort of resolution. And so if you keep good records, that's really where you can give me the resources to help you.
Yeah, and I think I want to also let people know on this subject is this is one of those things that doesn't get better with time. You know, a tax collection issue with the IRS is not like fine wine. The more you stick your head in the sand, the more likely it is you're going to be like Stephen Baldwin or Wesley Snipes or some of these other, or the situation. And now the letters you get from the IRS start coming from the criminal division, possibly.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it. Sometimes you even miss your ability to contest certain things by failing to make a contact back with the IRS. So stay on top of it. If you are behind right now and you're sitting there frustrated, this is your time to just make a commitment to get on course to resolving it with the IRS now. Get on a plan, get on a path to get it done. It's not going to get better with time. If you're thinking, well, maybe my financial situation even gets worse than it is now. Okay, recut a better deal with the IRS later if you have to, because your situation even got worse than it was now. But sitting there thinking it's going to go away is, you're kidding yourself if that's happening. So just be a little proactive and have comfort in that there are some of these payment resolution programs, offer and compromises, even bankruptcy if you have to try and just get your financial life back together. All right. Well, thanks so much, Lee, for being on. Of course, you can always reach Lee at lee@kkoslawyers.com. He's who Mark and I send people to who are in this situation. He's worked with a lot of clients in helping resolve tax debts. And of course, any final thoughts, Mark?
No, I just know this was a... really a difficult show, especially here at the end. And those that only that owe the IRS are probably hanging on for this last part of the show. It's tough. But Lee, great job. Thank you so much for coming on online.
My pleasure, Mark, Matt. Always glad to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough topic. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be here next week with another show trying to help you better live the American dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.